This is Will's Band of the Week for January 26th, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm here.
How's it going?
It's going all right. Apparently I'm doing better than you.
Yeah, you can tell by how I sound, right?
Will's a little under the weather this week.
I have had the world's greatest runny nose today. Been in my office, I was just like, I didn't have any Kleenex in my office and I was walking up and down the hall like the entire day. Yeah, it's just one of those days.
And that is why I'm here via remote.
Yes, I suggested that you not come over here because, in fact, one of my kids came home from school today too, because he doesn't have a fever, but he's got like a massive one of those colds that just comes over you. It's just ridiculous. So, all right, so you can't pick these up over the internet either. So it's good for the listeners. When we do our live show, we'll have to be more careful. So
we better start selling tickets for that.
Right. Yeah, we need to. Well, we'll have to give advance notice because people will need to make their travel reservations. Right? You know that people can contact us. You can send us an email to willsband@yahoo.com if you like the old-fashioned way. Email's old-fashioned now, you know. You can go to the website, willsband.net. You can go to the Facebook page, the Will's Band of the Week podcast page. Or, of course, there's iTunes. I should say and or. iTunes, you can subscribe there, and that's a good thing. So there you go. That's the housekeeping that we do at the beginning of the podcast. And now it's time for music news, of which I don't have any. Do you have any music news, Chris?
I don't actually really think I do.
Fortunately, nobody prominent in the rock and roll world died this week.
Yeah, that's so, usually the old go-to.
So I guess it's maybe good that we don't have music news. Although maybe we can mention that Barrett is frolicking in Atlantic City as we speak, right?
Yeah, he tends to have these work conferences in pretty extravagant locations.
Yeah, he's probably at like the Taj Mahal, Atlantic City, or something. I've never been to Atlantic City. Have you?
No, never been to the greater New York, New Jersey area.
Yeah, me either.
At all.
Wow. Yeah, that's a sheltered life we're living, I think.
Yeah.
Well. All right. So let's just get to our bands then. Okay.
Yeah,
we're gonna be straight to the point this week. We're gonna be efficient and no wasted time for the listeners whatsoever.
Austerity.
So we have what do you call this band? Indie rock monsters, the Decemberists. I mean, by now they're kind of, I don't know, what category do we put them in?
They are probably one of the more preeminent, I guess, indie, if you want to even call them an indie band anymore.
Yeah.
Turning into kind of, you know, like the Wilco, like every time a Wilco album comes out, that's when the whole indie community kind of gets together to kind of talk about the state of indie music. It becomes like a nationwide conversation. And I think that's probably what's happening to the Decemberists now.
I think so. And it's like you just assume that it'll be, you know, top 10 of the year on the NPR list for sure, right?
I think that's probably a given, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, the Wilco comparison is interesting because if they develop that kind of longevity, then they'll be sort of in the same category, I think. And it'll be interesting to see where they go.
But I think about as big as probably, you know, indie type of bands get these days.
Yeah, they're on the level
they're
not, of...
They're not going to play stadiums or anything like that, but, you know, reasonably... I last time they were here in Madison, I went to go see them at the Overture Center, and I think it was sold out, so...
Yeah.
That was when they played their entire last album back to front or front to back.
Right.
And I thought that was a little strange just because you're essentially telling an audience, here we have just recorded an album that is so great, you're going to enjoy every song on it.
Well, part of it was just the, you know, it was sort of a concept album, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it was sort of designed to be listened to that way, I think. They designed it that way. So.
Yeah, well, people go to concerts thinking they're going to hear the greatest hits, or their favorite songs, not you know, some of the ones that may actually suffer, because every band has albums where a couple of the songs are kind of duds. But
well, they did the whole album, and then they did, you know, to satisfy the fans you're talking about, they did
the cranky people.
Yeah, they did like a 25 minute set of everything else, right?
Yes,
it was
yes.
kind of short. Yeah. Yeah, but I liked it. Well, part of it was because I liked that last album a lot. So, well, let's talk about the new album. It's called it's called The King Is Dead, right?
Yes.
And
it is.
And it's you know, kind of back to the basics for the Decemberists, I think.
Yeah, I enjoy it quite a bit.
And yeah, the bottom line is the songs are pretty good. I didn't know what I would think, and you know, there's a part of me that is sort of like you know. It's a good album if you feel like listening to the Decemberists, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, but when I listened to it, I sort of did feel like listening to the Decemberists. So why don't we play something? Do you want to pick the first one?
I will pick a song that, for some reason, when I heard this song on the album for the first time, I swear I had heard it like 10 times somewhere else. And it's Down by the Water. And I think maybe I may have heard it on, you know, some like Song of the Day website or something, just because it hit, I believe Gillian Welch is also on this song, guesting in the background. So I think that might have been the catnip that drew me to listen to it online well before the album came out. So I'm going to go with Down by the Water.
Okay.
I saw an interview with Colin Molloy, the lead singer, the titular head. I guess he wouldn't be the titular head, the actual head of the Decemberists, where he mentions that his music is rock for lit majors.
Right. Yeah, I've heard them described that way a lot.
But for him to describe it, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. Like, maybe he was a lit major.
Well, if, perhaps. But, you know, to imply that somehow your music is much more, you know, profound or, you know, harder to understand than your typical music.
Yeah.
Just kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
Well, he's a lyrics guy for sure, right? I mean, yeah. You know, he's definitely into his lyrics. And I think that, you know, I don't know if you listen to it the same way, but I kind of, you know, they kind of fly right by me and I don't really make an effort to really figure out what they all mean.
Well, like in that song, he's, you know, he says, down by the river, down by the old man drag, oh, the old main drag. Probably not a whole lot of rivers over by that are run near main drags. I'm just guessing.
Could
just kind of sounds like a throwaway chorus.
All right, you're the critic here. All right. One thing that this is really a pretty consistent album, and some of the softer tracks are actually pretty good, that I, you know, the ones that I like quite a bit, and which goes against sometimes, I think I usually go for the full band thing, but for my first pick, I've got one of the quiet kind of folky songs, but I liked it a lot. It's track 8 called June Hymn.
Here's a hymn to welcome in the day, heralding a summer's early sway, and all the bulbs all coming in to begin. The thrush's bleeding battle with the wrens disrupts my reverie again. Pegging clothing on the line, training jasmine how to vine up the arbor to your door and more. Standing on the landing with the war you shouldered all the night before. Once upon it, yellow bonnets garland all along. You were waking, and day was breaking, a panoply of song. And summer comes to Springville Hill. A barony of ivy in the trees, expanding out its empire by degrees, and all the branches burst to blue in the bloom. Heaven sent this cardinal maroon to decorate our living room. Once upon it, yellow bonnets garland all along. And you were waking, day was breaking, a panoply of song. Summer comes to Springville Hill.
See, he uses the word panoply.
Yeah, when I heard a panoply of song, I kind of thought the same thing. It's like, all right. That sounded a little like he pulled that out of the hat or something.
A little too deep for me.
Yeah. I like the song a lot, though.
Well, it's funny because I really like the album. And I'm I guess I always just find something to complain about because it's certainly preferable to, you know, stupid music.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the, you know, the White Wires singing be true to your school till you get kicked out, you know. That's a little contrast. No. Right, so
deliciously stupid,
right? Yeah. All right, got another one.
Yeah, well, keeping in that theme with the slow songs, I'm gonna go with the last song on the album, which is called Dear Avery. And this is kind of weird because all the songs that we're picking are the second half of the album, which is strange for us.
Yeah, and the first half of the album is definitely not bad either.
Right.
So this shows the strength of the album, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
I'm going Dear Avery, number 10.
Dear Avery, I think of you only. Were you waving? Were you dead on the vine? Oh, Avery, I think of you lonely. But I could just grab you by the nape of your neck. There are times like will rattle your bones and will bend your limbs. You're still far and away the boy you've ever been. So you bend back and shake at the frame of the frame you made, but don't you shake along. Please, Avery, come home. Headstrong, you and your long arms listen.
Yeah, it's solid. Good song.
There you go.
All right, you know, in our extensive briefing before we started the podcast, we were talking about our, you know, our picks from the album, and we were all picking the second half. So I'm gonna switch it up a little bit here. I'm gonna change my pick.
Curveball.
Remember what I first said about this album the first time I heard it? I was telling you guys that there's a song that sounds exactly like REM. And because Peter Buck plays on this album, I think, I don't know, one or two tracks, right? I don't even know what tracks he plays on, but there's one song that sounds so much like REM that it's obviously a song that Peter Buck is on. And it's funny because I kind of like the song, but every time I listen to it, all I can think of is, it's 1987, and REM has kicked Michael Stipe out of the band, or he left the band, and they hired Colin Molloy to replace him. That's what it sounds like. So see if you agree with me. This is track 2, and it's called Calamity Song. That's not from the new REM album.
Well, it's funny you would say that, because I had forgotten you mentioned that. And so all the times I'd listened to that song, it hadn't been through the REM prism.
Uh-huh.
But now that you mention it, I'm going to say, you mentioned 1987. I'm going to say that's probably more 1984.
Yeah, it's Murmur era.
I can see that more on Reckoning. Yep. Somewhere between like Pretty Persuasion and Second Guessing,
right?
Something like that.
I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the sound, of course, is a little more polished, and those are still the years where Michael Stipe was mumbling and you couldn't understand what he was saying.
Right. But. Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, Peter Buck must be playing the same guitar, that Rickenbacker guitar, and, you know, I don't know what kind of amp he uses, but man, oh, man. Yeah, that's
the sound. I just finished reading the new Patton Oswalt book.
Uh-huh.
And in one of the first chapters, he mentions, you know, how R.E.M.'s Fables of the Reconstruction album influenced him so much when he was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
And he actually, apparently on the audio version of the book, he actually got Michael Stipe to read the lyrics that he cites in the book. And it's funny because he goes to Michael Stipe and says, can you read the lyrics from Fables of the Reconstruction?
Uh-huh.
Stipe looks at him and he goes, those aren't the lyrics at all.
Huh.
But apparently he read them anyway.
You mean they were the lyrics that were written down and represented to be the lyrics, and Stipe was saying they were wrong?
They were the lyrics that apparently Patton Oswalt thought were the lyrics from listening to the album.
Right,
but
right.
Because he was still kind of mumbling at that point, they weren't the lyrics.
Yeah.
But yeah. Stipe apparently was a good sport about it and read it as interpreted by Patton Oswalt, not as they actually were. He looked at it and was like, what? So that's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
If you're an artist and you have an album, and I'd kind of get a kick out of whatever way people decide to interpret them, much less, you know, not necessarily the way that I write them down.
Right. It would just be so cool that somebody is analyzing your work so much, you know. Yeah.
I was thinking if I ever record an album, I think all the lyrics might just be lyrics from other albums that I thought were the lyrics but actually aren't, because sometimes they're actually even cooler.
Yeah, because you can make them real. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever read those sites? There's these websites that have like commonly misunderstood lyrics, and usually they're kind of lame. They're like, you read it and you're like, no way anybody actually thinks that that's what it was, you know?
Yeah.
There aren't that many that are, I don't think, that are like clearly misunderstood, but you know, if people don't pay attention, they'll just kind of fill in the blank in their brain, you know, and get them wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
some that always come to mind. I can't think of any right now, that like songs that you've just been listening to for years and years and become staples in your repertoire, and you still have no idea what any of the words are.
Yeah, and then sometimes and you know, there are all these websites that post lyrics, and of course they could be wrong too, but every once in a while I'll look them up, you know, one that I just never knew what it was, and it's fascinating. It's interesting.
Well, that's funny, because in college, this is the first I had ever heard of computers or internet or anything. I got stuck with this roommate who I didn't really like all that much, but he was kind of a computer nerd, and I was mentioning REM one time, and he said, oh, well, I can go on my computer and get the REM lyrics for like Murmur and Reckoning. And I'm just like, come on, they never published the lyrics, so you don't know what they are. Nobody knows what they are.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, they're right here. And he gets on this thing called the quote unquote internet.
Mm-hmm.
and pulls this stuff out. I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Not even realizing, you know, the porn potential, but I was just happy with REM lyrics.
Yeah.
This is 1992, so I guess that was the first time I had ever heard of someone actually dialing in on a phone line with a computer. REM lyrics, so there you go.
So REM has a new album coming out in a couple months.
That's what I hear.
And every time they come out with an album now, people say, oh, you know, this is going to be the one that's going to like really be good, you know. I don't know. I've heard one track and I was kind of, I don't know. But it'll be worth listening to.
I thought
sure.
The last one, Accelerate, I thought that was defensible.
Yeah, it easily defensible, yeah. You know, and what are you going to do when you've been a band for 25 years or 30 years or whatever? And you know, it's not like you're going to reinvent your sound and, you know. So I have a little sympathy for bands like that just can't, you know, you're not going to put something earth shattering out. It's just almost impossible. So, all right. Hey, we have another band, don't we?
We do.
And I think it's a fun one. I don't know what you, I don't think you've indicated what you think of this band.
Oh, but I listened to it the first time that I listened to it. I thought I immediately got online and started looking them up. Because I liked it so much. It's instantly likable.
And the band is called Tennis. And who would call their band Tennis?
Well, it's one of those Google unfriendly bands.
Right.
So if you go on, like, if you go on YouTube and type in Tennis, you end up with 100 videos of Anna Kournikova.
Right.
And so you got to kind of dig down a little bit. And they do have one video, but they're a little, they must be a little shy. It's hard to find pictures or videos of them.
I found a couple YouTube of, you know, just random people, you know, taking a cheap video shot of them and some live performance. There were a few. I think the key with these search unfriendly bands is you have to put the word band after it. So I searched for Tennis band. And I got,
yeah, you end up with something for Tennis elbow.
Yeah, to, yeah.
To keep from
right. I got
out your elbow.
It was still a lot of filtering I had to do, but yeah. So, and are there any other bands like with a sport for their name? I mean, there's not a band called baseball or basketball, hockey.
Again, this is something that requires pre-production.
Yeah, and you know, I can hit you with another one too.
There is a band called Hockey, I think. I'm betting there is.
There's another factor too about this band, and in pre-production, I should have mentioned this to you because this is a husband-wife band.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can get into the whole husband-wife band thing, right?
Yes, I believe Mates of State are a husband and wife. Are they not?
Yes, they are. And so are there are other bands that there aren't as many bands that are just a husband and wife. Like the Rosebuds are husband and wife.
Mm.
Now, is there a husband and wife in Y Oak?
No,
I'm just assuming that because there's a woman in the band. Maybe
they when I actually met them after their show, like a groupie, I stayed after and talked to them a little bit. And Andy, who is the male in the band, was telling me, you know, they're standing there right next to each other, and he was telling me about, you know, some girl he was just dating or just broke up with or something. So I believe they are not romantically involved.
Clearly not. Arcade Fire has a husband and wife in it. There's an old band, the Poster Children, I think I've mentioned before, from Illinois. And they have a husband-wife. Did you know that Yola Tango has a husband-wife in the band?
Yes, I did know that.
And Sonic Youth has a husband-wife. Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon, right?
Oh. This is going to kill my cred, but I had no idea that they were married.
Yeah, I think they are. Oh. And then I did a little search, husband-wife bands, and this was the funniest one, the White Stripes, right?
Because
supposedly they were actually married, like, and then divorced, like, before the band kind of hit it big.
Right, but then they pretended, played off that they were brother and sister for a while. So that was,
yeah. So let's go back to this band Tennis. Apparently they went on a big sailing trip on the East Coast or something, and the album is all about their trip.
Yes, and it is very much within the beachy trend that we've been discussing week after week after week.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to let you pick the first track on this one. What's it going to be?
All right, I'm going with a couple of these songs I believe were released before the album came out, and now they're on the proper album, and I think South Carolina is one of those, so that's what I'm going to go with.
All right, yep, that was one of my picks, and you took it, so it's a good
stole
one.
Stole it.
Sea, the sun is still.
That's Tennis. The album is called Cape Dory. And yeah, it's a good sound, isn't it?
Yeah, very clearly trying to recreate the girly bands of the 60s, much like, you know, bands like Best Coast that we liked a lot from last year.
Right.
They've kind of got the She and Him vibe going a little bit.
There's a little beach house in there, but a little more rockin' than beach house.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pick track 4, Marathon.
This would have been my other pick, too.
All right, we're unanimous in our first two picks.
Coconut Grove is a very small cove, separated from the sea by a shifting shoal. We didn't realize that we had arrived at high tide, high tide. Barely made it out alive. Oh. Fishermen working at night. Not even once did we see a light. We didn't realize the forecast had been revised by moonless skies and shifting wind that gusts and dies. Oh, on the sand, a keel is heaving, but tonight we got to be leaving. Travel day into the evening. Oh, 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 oh.
Yep, another catchy one.
Yeah.
It's that chorus is really a hook, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, I appreciate bands that have just simple names that kind of throw you off the scent as to what they actually sound like or what they're all about.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Like from a band named Tennis, I mean, who would have thought? It's kind of like Sleigh Bells.
Right.
Like when you first told me there's this band called Sleigh Bells, I was like, oh my God, what is this? Like some kind of Shins retread or something, but... yeah, totally different.
Right. All right. Well, we've got the featured tracks we've played now. So where do we go from here?
Let's see. Those are my two. I like Baltimore. You want to go with that?
Sure.
Have we determined who the drummer is versus who plays the guitar?
No. In fact, well, the one video I saw, the woman was playing a keyboard, and you know, they had a separate drummer, so they had at least three people in the band.
Oh.
Playing live, and the guy was playing the guitar. So I think she plays the bass lines on the keyboard, and then they have a drummer. So we'll see. Hey, you know they're coming to Madison?
I was not aware of that. No.
Yeah, something in about a month or something. So we'll have to
see if we can
catch that one. Yeah.
One thing, because that's one of the things that I actually noticed with Yo La Tengo, is that Georgia, who is the female in the band, plays the drums.
Right.
Most of the time. And sometimes she gets going so fast and singing that I think like the drumming actually affects her singing sometimes.
You know, I would think that you see it on occasion, but I would just think that drumming and singing at the same time would be really hard.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a singer, so I think, you know, I wouldn't be able to play guitar or bass and sing at the same time either. But just drumming, you're kind of, you know, you're moving, so you'd think that, like, you know, your breathing would be off or something.
Right. You just get completely out of breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my son's favorite songs is What I Like About You by The Romantics.
Right, right. And the drummer sings that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, yes. One of his favorite videos.
I think I saw them perform that live in Madison back in,
wow,
like, this would have been like, what, 1983 or something?
Yeah.
82? Yeah. Yeah. They played at Headliners on University Avenue, which is now that place that had the, you know, they put the bowling lanes in there, right next to the Church Key, that place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played there. Yep.
Is it Johnny O's or something?
Yeah, something like that. But it was Sagredo, right? And they put bowling lanes in it, and then they, this is trivia the listeners have no interest in whatsoever, so forget that. Okay, so, well, let's round it out by playing some of the first track, which I think is pretty good. So now we're finally going to open the album for you. This is Take Me Somewhere. Yeah, that's definitely got the retro 60s kind of sound to it, doesn't it?
There you go.
And yeah, this is an album that's, I think it's pretty much instantly likable. And also it kind of wears pretty well, I think, too. It's not, you know, just, I haven't gotten sick of it. You know, I haven't listened to it, not like 75 times like your Y-Oak album, but, you know.
I need to consult the little man living in my computer that writes down on iTunes how many times I've listened to it. To determine really how much staying power it has.
Yeah, guess so.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what's like ridiculous is that iTunes even will keep track of like how many times you have skipped a song. Like that's just terrible, isn't it? Like sometimes I'll just be like, I don't know what I want to listen to. I'll just start skipping and skipping and skipping. It's like, well, I've just like discredited that track by adding a skip to its data, right? Oh, man.
Pretty soon it's going to start taking that info and, like, forwarding it to the band itself.
Right, right.
That, I mean, what's to keep them from it?
Right. This guy, you know, calls himself a fan, but he's skipping your track when it comes on.
You meet him in concert, terrible. You're going to be like, hey, I'm Chris. And they're like, oh, we know about you.
You got like, you don't, eight you don't like skips. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, two pretty good albums this week, I think.
Yeah. Go get them.
And
Run, Do Not Walk.
Yep. They're getting our recommended seal. Right? The seal of approval. Yes. Or something like that. So we don't know what Barrett thinks of these albums. He'll have to tell us next week, I guess.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that he sort of gave a general indication that he liked them. So, but, you know, we can't speak for Barrett. We're very independent-minded on this podcast. So, all right. Anything else for the listeners this week?
No, go Packers. Okay.
Well, yeah, absolutely go Packers. No question about it. And we don't have the NFL music this week, but... Well, we could, couldn't we? Let's see. Let's find it. This is for you, Green Bay Packers. You know, there's going to be, like, just every single day, every local newscast will start off with the Packers. You know, I think my wife is sick of it already after only a couple days.
Yep.
Yeah.
There will be no news in the next 2 weeks. It's there could be another 9/11, and
it would get like start off 30 seconds.
How fat BJ Raji is.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned to somebody at work that I wanted to bet on the over-under of how many green and yellow cookies will be in this break room area in our office in the next 2 weeks. They're going to be all over the place.
Yeah. Can't complain with that.
No, you can't. It's life in the state of Wisconsin, so it's going to be good for the next couple weeks. Okay, let's thank everybody for listening. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, peeps.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week.